So let's get a little bit deeper into some of these stories that are affecting our community. We begin with the public hearing on the Weavers Grove housing community in Chapel Hill that was opened during last night's town council meeting. That discussion comes as Habitat for Humanity, who's developing and managing the property, recently opened its first round of applications for some of the 237 future mixed-income homes. Lane Staton, who is the local Habitat's Vice President of Homeowner Services, recently spoke to 97.9 The Hill about the applications. She encouraged anyone with an annual household income of $38,000 to $90,000 a year to consider applying and provided some insight into what the process is like.
When you are applying to Habitat, you are applying for a home loan. We are the bank. And so we're going to be looking at income. We're going to be looking at your debt ratio. We don't look at credit score. Like if you've had a hard time in the past, that's okay. We know that people rebuild. But we do look to see how much of your income is going to debt. So if you went out and bought a $600 a month car, then that's going to impact your application process. Our application process can take 4 to 5 months, which is why we're starting now. And the application isn't a guarantee. You still have to maintain your income when you're in the program. You are applying for the Habitat program. And the program itself, we're doing financial education. We're talking about credit. We're talking about how to maintain a house. Like what happens when your pipes start dripping and you need to replace your gutters? We're talking about all of it over time. In addition to what does it take to be a good community member, a good neighbor, and how do you run an HOA? So it's all this preparation for owning your first home that I know I didn't get when I did that. So the program is really a significant amount of learning that goes into it. At the end of it, you then apply for your home loan through Habitat. I think if anybody's really has some questions about their income, I want to encourage them to reach out to the other nonprofits that do financial counseling. Community Empowerment Fund, Reinvestment Partners, Empowerment in Chapel Hill, all of these places offer financial counseling for free. I know it's so scary to talk with people about finances, especially your own personal finances, but being able to sit down with someone who can prepare you for it is the best way to be successful.
That's Lane Staton of Orange County Habitat for Humanity speaking there. You can find a link to the applications for the Weavers Grove community on chapelboro.com. Those applications will close on Tuesday, January 17th, but there will be other rounds of applications in the future. Yesterday, we got an update from state health officials on the latest COVID-19 numbers. Unfortunately, the holiday spike appears to be continuing to rise. There was a 68% increase in COVID particles in wastewater. That is now up to its highest level since last January. There is a little bit of good news, if there's good news to be had, is that hospitalizations are increasing at a much lower rate than the amount of wastewater particles. That number, too, is also at its highest level since February of last year. But again, the hospitalizations are down compared to last year as it relates to the other metrics. Health officials reiterate the importance of masking up in crowded indoor spaces and to keep up to date on your COVID-19 vaccines. Another bit of health news statewide now. Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina is appealing the decision by the Treasurer's Office to switch over to Aetna for state health care benefits for state employees. The decision to make that change was announced last week. Also in state news, the year 2023 is likely to be a pivotal one for several key state-level issues, but perhaps none are as important as legislative redistricting, a starting point for our elections. Lawmakers in Raleigh are likely to begin another round of redistricting this year, and Republican leaders are hoping for a new map that's even more favorable to GOP candidates. How much will they be able to do with that map? Well, that's partly up to the U.S. Supreme Court, which heard arguments last month in a case that observers say could be vital or devastating for American democracy. 97.9 The Hill's Aaron Keck has more.
The most serious legal threat our democracy has ever faced.
That's Kathy Fang of the organization Common Cause. She's talking about Moore v. Harper, a case out of North Carolina that could have major impacts on elections nationwide. Moore v. Harper began in 2021 when Republican lawmakers drew new congressional district lines after the 2020 census. The new map was drawn in part to benefit Republicans, a practice called partisan gerrymandering. The state Supreme Court has ruled that partisan gerrymandering violates the state constitution when it goes too far, And last February, judges ruled that the GOP's map was unconstitutional. Lawmakers drew a new map, but the court rejected that one, too. Instead, judges appointed three special masters to draw a third map, which was ultimately used in last year's midterm. Tyler Day is the Policy and Civic Engagement Manager at Common Cause NC.
Election Day is the foundation of Democrat governance. Partisan gerrymandering can make it meaningless.
Republican leaders appealed the case to the U.S. Supreme Court, who agreed to hear arguments in December. In past cases, the legal dispute has largely been about how much gerrymandering is too much, a distinction that's notoriously hard to pin down. But this time, Republicans are making a much more fundamental argument about whether state courts can have any oversight over election laws at all.
At the bottom, what these folks are asking for is extraordinary.
That's former acting U.S. Solicitor General Neil Katyal, who argued the case before the Supreme Court last month.
This case is about checks and balances. Who would want a world in which state legislatures can do whatever the heck they want?
It's generally been understood that state courts can overrule state legislatures who enact election rules that violate the state constitution. In fact, the U.S. Supreme Court has said as much on several occasions, including recently. But Article 1, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution explicitly gives state legislatures the power to set the rules for federal elections, and Republicans want the Supreme Court to rule that this provision means state courts don't have any substantive oversight. That's called the independent state legislature theory, and it could extend not only to redistricting, but also to other rules, including early voting and absentee voting. Most legal scholars reject the theory, but three Supreme Court justices, Alito, Gorsuch, and Thomas, have argued in favor of it, and a fourth, Brett Kavanaugh, seems to be on the fence. In December's oral argument, the other five justices all appeared skeptical of the theory, leading observers to predict that the court will ultimately reject it. But voting rights advocates remain wary. Once again, Tyler Day.
This case is really, truly vital to our democracy. It's not a Democratic or Republican issue. It's about all of our voting rights.
The Supreme Court will issue its ruling in Moore v. Harper sometime between now and June. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Aaron Keck.
Thank you, Aaron. You can find a print version of that story by visiting our website, chapelboro.com. As we head into the new year, we've been asking local elected officials to share their New Year's resolutions for their respective communities. And one of those is Chatham County Commissioner Karen Howard. She spoke with me last week about the need to make sure residents have the tools they need to access the thousands of new jobs that are coming to Chatham County in the next few years. She said that process begins in the schools.
I think it looks like us supporting ventures that the community college and the high schools are looking at. I know one of the things that our K-12 system is working on with our community college is developing curriculum for students who are currently in the system to have access to internships and training at these incoming businesses. So some of it is going to be financial, and some of it is simply going to be collaborating so that we know where the opportunities lie, when is a good time to jump in and start things. We don't want kids to have taken courses that prepare them for a job that will be here in 5 years and not have something that's going to fill the next three or four. But again, also investing in the classes in the public school system so that we're getting good teachers, we're keeping the people that are able to teach to those future jobs.
That was Chatham County Commissioner Karen Howard speaking there, and you can find that full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. Time now for sports, and we start with a big women's basketball game coming up tonight. Of course, the women's team just getting off the schneid there after losing four in a row. And they did it in spectacular fashion, knocking off the number four team in the nation, Notre Dame, to get back in the win column. And they're going to keep that going tonight. Hopefully, they are now ranked 22nd. They will be in Charlottesville to face Virginia. And Virginia is doing pretty well overall. They're 13-3 on the season, but they have lost two in a row to Virginia Tech and NC State. Also lost their second leading scorer in that NC State loss. So we'll see how they react tonight. Got Matt Krause on the call starting at 7 p.m. Our coverage here starts at 6:30 on your flagship station for UNC Sports. On the men's side of things, we learned some good news this afternoon. Armando Bacot's x-rays came back negative on his ankle that he injured early against Virginia on Tuesday. We still don't know when he will be back on the court. Over to football now. Yesterday, we learned that cornerbacks coach Dre Bly will be parting ways with UNC. Not all that surprising, given the amount of passing yards the team gave up, particularly in second halves of games this season. The search for a new cornerbacks coach is already underway. Still a lot of excitement around Carolina football for next season, whoever the quarterbacks coach is, and that's mostly because of the quarterback, Drake May. The Tar Heel Tribune reporting May has the second highest Vegas odds to win the Heisman Trophy next year after reigning Heisman Trophy winner Caleb Williams at USC. We also learned this afternoon that Drake May is your Freshman of the Year nationally, according to the National Football Writers Association. Congratulations to him. We've also got several soccer players on the women's team being invited to take part in training camp for Team USA's under 18 and under 19 teams. Current team members Tessa De La Rosa and Nana Reason and Allie Sentner will be joining four incoming Tar Heels at the week-long training camp that's out in California this weekend. Some fun tennis news for the men's team. They just landed a new recruit, Will Jansen. He is the under 18 British national champion from 2021 and a native of London, England. He enrolled at UNC for the spring semester. Welcome to Chapel Hill, Will Jansen.